Evidence of the use of chemical weapons in Syria has taken the conflict into a new stage. Who is responsible for the devastating consequences? You're watching The Debate.
Syrian government forces continue pounding the positions of foreign-backed insurgents. This unverified video purports to show the militants engaged in fierce clashes with the army in another part of Syria. The situation in the Arab country has taken a new turn after a chemical attack near the northern city of Aleppo. Terrorists hit us with chemical weapons. Oh God, take our revenge, shouts this woman whose loved one has apparently fallen victim to the attack. The government has also blamed the chemical attack on the insurgents, condemning it as a dangerous escalation of the war. The militants, however, have denied responsibility for the attack. They have said government forces are behind the gassing of people in Aleppo. Damascus has said time and again it will not use chemical weapons even if it has them. The Syrian Information Ministry reiterated this stance on Tuesday.
عبر حدود بعض الدول المجاورة ومن دفع ثمن هذا السلاح في قطر أو في أي دولة أخرى ومن ورد هذا السلاح يتحمل مسؤولية سياسية وقانونية وأخلاقية وإنسانية بشكل مباشر.
Omran al-Zubi also said the chemical attack is the first gift of the interim government formed by the Syrian opposition coalition in Turkey. Meanwhile, Russia has given credence to the Syrian government's claim. Moscow has said it has information that the chemical attack in Aleppo was carried out by the insurgents. The US has also reacted to the chemical attack. Washington has said it would be totally unacceptable if the Syrian government uses such weapons, but it has not said what would happen if they've been used by the militants. Observers believe that Syrian government forces do not need chemical weapons, as they have the edge over the insurgents on the ground. They have also maintained that the insurgents are hell-bent on using banned weapons as a catalyst to give their Western backers the necessary pretext to intervene in Syria. Meanwhile, the top U.S. military commander in Europe, Admiral James Stavridis, has said NATO is conducting contingency planning for possible military involvement in Syria. He has also said American forces will be prepared if called upon by the United Nations and member countries. Damascus has repeatedly called the war ravaging Syria a foreign conspiracy to force regime change in the Arab nation. UN figures have shown the conflict has left tens of thousands of people dead and displaced hundreds of thousands of others.
You're watching The Debate. Joining me now live from London is Nigel West, intelligence historian. I'd also like to welcome our guest in Beirut, Mr. Franklin Lam. He's an international lawyer. Welcome to the programme, gentlemen. My first question to our guest in Beirut, Mr. Lam, looking at the way the attack was carried out, Mr. Lam, chemical material we're hearing within rockets, ammunition containing an unidentified chemical agent. Who could have been behind this attack and where could this material have come from?
Well, the short answer is there are several suspects and some of the usual suspects. We remember from Libya as far back as 2011, I spent the summer there, and there were rumors that there were these chemical weapons in the hands of certain militia, and to our knowledge, they were not used. But I think that the Russians are onto something here. I believe that it may well be in the next 48 hours, we don't know for sure, that when these things are traced, much like the other weapons were traced on the Luftwaffe boat that came in here from Libya, that they may well have come from Libya. They moved through Libya with the assistance of the Gulf countries, and possibly across the border. It could be, it looks like it might be, from Turkey. And of course, So that, I think, is a very likely scenario. We don't know yet, but I think we're alert to this.
Right. You say that Turkey. Now, I'll go to our guest in London, Mr. Nigel West. We did hear the Syrian authorities today specifically mention Turkey and Qatar, saying that they are blaming the regional countries who are backing the militants for this. They're holding them responsible. What do you think?
Well, they would, wouldn't they? Let's be very clear. These chemical weapons are banned by international convention. They are illegal. The idea that they have in some way been developed and inserted into artillery rounds or into rockets or other delivery systems in Turkey is pretty far-fetched, bearing in mind that the Syrian government has boasted in the past of its stockpiles of chemical weapons. Now, it may well be that some of these weapons have fallen into the hands of the insurgents, and this is part of the danger of retaining these stockpiles of what are weapons that are banned internationally.
So you don't think that, as our guest there in Beirut was saying, that these weapons could have entered Syria from abroad, however, as some people are saying, from Libya or anywhere else?
Very difficult to imagine that these weapons have got themselves from Libya onto a ship, then passed across the Mediterranean, and then been unloaded on a Mediterranean port and taken to Syria and then passed to insurgents. If that is the case, and it seems pretty improbable, bearing in mind that there are stockpiles of chemical weapons that have been openly declared by the Syrian government, I mean, why carry those weapons all that distance when they're already there? Right, I don't think you have to be Sherlock Holmes to see who's most likely to be responsible for this.
Right, Mr. Lamb, your response.
Well, of course, you don't have to be Sherlock Holmes also to know that there's a vast body of international humanitarian law that is being violated in Syria, and that is illegal. It's just not these chemical weapons. But on the public record, the Syrians who have been squeezed on this issue and speculation, they've consistently said that they would never use them, even if they had them. Who does this benefit? It doesn't benefit the Syrian government. The danger, of course, is that this is being used and will be used as a pretext to bring in NATO forces. The American spokesman on your program just here had a clip where he said, if the Security Council agrees, they're not going to agree. So I think that's the danger. And, and the evidence and what's rational seems to suggest that somebody is using this to provoke a Plan C. Plan A failed, Plan B failed, and maybe a Plan C. So I think we ought to be very watchful and skeptical and trace these weapons.
Well, let's put that question to Nigel West now in London. Mr. West, a lot of people have been suggesting that why would the Syrian government be willing to use chemical weapons? Because it already knows that by doing so, it's going to give good reason for overt military intervention, for some kind of what, I mean, Obama has himself said, we've been hearing Britain, even Israel saying that we are going to get involved militarily if this happens. So why would the Syrian government take this option?
Well, first of all, you're assuming that there is a coherent chain of command and control in Syria. It would only take one local commander to panic, and if he has access to the stockpiles of chemical weapons, which have been publicly declared in the past by the Syrian government, we know they exist there. You don't automatically have to assume this is part of some Machiavellian large strategy that has been adopted in Damascus. Secondly, just think about these weapons. These are sometimes unstable gases and other agents that have to be prepared, then placed in artillery rounds, mortar rounds, or the warheads of missiles. This doesn't really smack of the kind of activity undertaken by insurgents who are, in general terms, lightly armed, don't have access to artillery, and certainly, as far as we know, there's no evidence that they've ever fired any of the kind of conventional delivery systems that would be so familiar to us, that are required for this kind of weapon.
Well,
yeah, go ahead, Mr. Nam.
Well, I would just say that, on the contrary, we know that the al-Qaeda jihadist types, al-Nusra Front, are very focused on weapons of mass destruction if they can get their hands on them. That's why it's so dangerous. And it may well be that they've opened up a new chapter.
Has al-Qaeda ever used chemical weapons?
Using their scale, and so they may. Well, but they haven't had a chance. Do you really doubt, sir, that if they had a chance, they would turn them down on some moral or political basis and find them inhumane? They'll use anything they can for their political
goals. You.
And I think that there's a great danger that they got their hands on some, either from the Gulf or from Libya, and that they're cooking this stuff up. But we don't know yet, but I think we're going to find out.
And the question of these kinds of weapons falling into the wrong hands, this has been the subject that the United States we've been speaking about all the time. Mr. West, we've been hearing the U.S. and other European countries say the reason why we're not sending arms, they say, of course, to Syria right now is because they might fall into the wrong hands. So they are admitting there that al-Qaeda exists, that these militants could use these weapons against the civilian population, aren't they?
Well, of course, the danger always, and it was the danger in Libya, and we've seen what's happened in Mali, and if we go back to Afghanistan, you'll remember there was great concern about the shoulder-fired Stinger missiles falling into the wrong hands after they'd been supplied to the Mujahideen. Now, actually, as it happens, fortunately, that has never happened. But, and it is perfectly possible, and it's one of the dangers of retaining illegal stockpiles of chemical weapons, as the Syrian government has acknowledged, that they might fall into the wrong hands or fall into the hands of a military commander who panics and deploys them without authority from Damascus. Yeah. There are plenty of alternative explanations, and we have to wait, I think, for the forensic examination, which will identify the precise agents used and the delivery systems that have been deployed.
Right. And now, just I'll stay with Mr. West on this. We know, Mr. West, that we had a video posted on the internet some months back showing purported militants experimenting on a rabbit, if you've seen that video, saying that we're going to use chemical weapons against the government of President Assad. Do you think that video says anything about the fact that these insurgents or even al-Qaeda-linked insurgents, al-Nusra Front, could actually be, taking that threat into action and actually using chemical weapons?
Well, I haven't seen the video that you've described, but to have 3 or 4 or 10 people messing around with these volatile, dangerous chemicals is probably more likely to do more damage to them than to anybody else.
Before I go to Mr. Lam, I'm just being told that we're going to take a look at some of the comments that have been posted on our Facebook page. And I'd just like to remind the viewers, we did post a question for them on our Facebook page, which says, how is this chemical attack rubbing salt on Syria's wounds? Is the West waiting for something like this to intensify pressure on President Bashar al-Assad? Let's take a look at some of your comments and we'll be back.
We will discuss the insurgents' chemical attack in Syria. Salik Abbas, now that FSA terrorists are losing the war against Syria, their sponsors in Turkey, the Arab League, the West and Israel are encouraging them to use chemical weapons against Syrians. Novroz Alam, before the war, all people in Syrian society were living like brothers. Foreign intruders spoiled the harmony, brotherhood and prosperity of innocent Syrians. Prosper Nemashakwe, the only option left for Assad is to compromise and form a unity government to save Syria. Otherwise, the whole nation will perish completely before the end of this year. I blame the Arab League for accepting the division wanted by the West. Ali Ali, after all the terrorist activities haven't borne any fruit in Syria for more than a year, the West has made this desperate and shameful attempt against innocent Syrian people.
comments posted on our Facebook page by some of our viewers. I'll go straight to our guest in Beirut, Mr. Lam. We know, Mr. Lam, that President Obama had said any use of chemical weapons, I'm quoting here, would be a red line. The UK saying that its calculations would change in any such case. Israel even threatening military action, it said, if such arms were sent via Syria to Hezbollah. So do you think that this issue, the evidence right now of the use of chemical weapons, mean that we're going to see some new stage in the war on Syria? We're going to see military intervention or not?
Well, I think starting now, we're already seeing from the neocons, from the Zionist lobby in America, from the types like Lindsey Graham and John McCain, that the Americans have got to act now, finally. I'm a little concerned about the timing of this and the trip of Kerry and soon Obama. You know, we've been looking around the speculation, and I agree with your London guess that we're probably going to learn a lot when they do the chemical analysis. There was one report this afternoon that came out of Washington, and it was, look, these were all, from 7 out of the 8 years of the Iraq-Iran war, we supplied chemical weapons to Saddam Hussein. Some are speculating that this may be left over from those days in Al-Qaeda, which we know are moving in from Iraq into Syria, that they may have been behind this. But again, I go back to our point from our guests in London. What's logical? Well, who had the opportunity? And what about the timing? I suggest what's logical about this is that those who want to heat up this war are using it as a fulfillment of the red line theory so that everybody can rally around and invade. So I think that's the danger of this.
So let's look at when the issue of chemical weapons first came. Now, Mr. West in London, we know that in the US media first, speculations based on unofficial, of course, and anonymous sources that there are preparations by Syria to use chemical weapons. And then there was a lot of concern expressed. And back then, Damascus said that it said the militants are waiting for an opportunity to use use chemical weapons and then blame us so that there's going to be an international outcry and there's going to be some kind of intervention. What do you think?
Well, let's understand what these chemical agents are. They're very sophisticated. They require laboratories to be developed. They have a relatively short shelf life. So that means that they couldn't possibly be leftovers or remnants from the Iraq war more than a decade ago. And they require continuous support. And we know that the Syrian government has publicly acknowledged in the past that it holds stockpiles of these weapons. So there's not an issue of having to bring them in from foreign countries. The chemical weapons are already there. The issue is who precisely has been responsible for deploying them. I personally don't think that the sort of conspiracy theory interpretation is that the deployment of these chemicals would act as a catalyst and would suddenly persuade Russia to change its mind in the Security Council and authorize some kind of military intervention in Syria. I don't buy that. I don't think anybody does one single or even a few incidents of this kind wouldn't amount to that kind of pretext that's being described. I think far more likely that this is an isolated incident.
Okay, so Mr. Lam, I guess they're saying that what we describe, the Damascus government's position, is more like a conspiracy theory.
Well, I just want to disagree slightly with Mr. West on one point. Not all of the 23 types of chemical weapons that are in existence in Iraq and this region, from Libya to even some in Yemen, have to be held in a chain of custody with scientists right on the scene. No, some of them are crude devices, and they could be from times past. I'm not saying that the fact is we don't know, and I agree with Mr. West that the analysis is going to help a lot on this, but it's not out of the realm of possibility that they could have come in from outside, or that they could have been actually made there, a crude type of a weapon, by people who are admittedly on the internet. You can get formulas from the Al-Qaeda types how to put these things together. So I don't think that's an excuse or a conclusion where these came from. But again, we're going to find out.
Mr. West, they're referring to Russia as well. Russia has come out clearly on this case and said, we have information that the militants have been using. What do you think about Russia's role in this, and if it comes to the UN Security Council as well?
Well, it's up to the Russians now to show their cards.
It'll be up.
If they've got evidence,
that question to Mr.
Let's hear it.
Absolutely.
Oh, but I don't think that it's going to change our position at the Security Council. This is very interesting. Let's see what they've got.
Okay, Mr. West, now, we've been seeing over the past few days the more talk about providing arms for the militants. We're hearing, for instance, John Kerry announcing that we're not going to stand in the way of countries that want to give arms, and some European countries are suggesting that they are willing to give arms to the insurgents. Do you think that this is a prelude for military intervention openly in Syria?
I don't think that a pretext is required. There is growing pressure amongst those who previously have supported the existing embargo on weapons being supplied to the insurgents to lift that ban. And the reason for that is that after, I think, much heart-searching, there are plenty of politicians who take the view that by getting this conflict over with quickly is the best way of preserving life and limb. And what is going on in Syria is an absolute tragedy, and it is falling into chaos. And I think that it will be with a great deal of hand-wringing that there is any kind of military intervention. I frankly don't see it at the moment. But there will be people who take the view that arming the insurgents means that we get rid of the Damascus regime quicker than would otherwise be the case.
Moscow has been saying that this development is very dangerous for Syria, that we're entering a new phase of the confrontation. Now, as your concluding remarks, we're running out of time, Mr. Lam, what do you think will be the consequence of this? Will we see military intervention?
Well, if this is all that we learn from this episode, no. It'd take much more because, again, I guess I mentioned one scenario, but the other thing of getting involved, what do we create? Do we create another Iraq? Do we create another Libya? So I don't, I don't think this in itself will make the Americans and the West get involved.
Mr. Franklin Lam, international lawyer with us there from Beirut, a big thank you. And thank you to our guest in London, Mr. Nigel West, intelligence historian. Thank you very much for being on The Debate. And thank you for staying with us. From me, Homa Lesgi. Until our next programme, it's goodbye.